My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown. He represents the 10th Congressional District in the Peach State, and he is also a candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. Senator Saxby Chambliss announced months ago that he will not be running for a third term, and so a very crowded 8-person field will head to a May 20th primary and a likely runoff in July. 4 of those candidates are believed to be the most likely to win the nomination, and Congressman Brown is right at the top of that list. And, sir, thank you so much for your time today. It's always good to have you.
Greg, it's always a blessing for me to be with you, and I really appreciate what you guys do to try to get the American people to understand what conservatism is all about and demand a different kind of governance here in Washington. We've just got to change government, and it's up to we the people to do so.
Well, you wasted very little time in getting into this race once Senator Chambliss made his announcement. Why was that such an easy decision, relatively speaking, for you, and why do you believe in this 8-person field that you're the best man for the job?
Well, Greg, I did not waste any time. In fact, it was within about 2 weeks after the senator announced he was not going to run that I announced my candidacy. It was February 6th of last year. We're headed towards an economic meltdown in this country if we don't stop this out-of-control spending and out-of-control debt that both parties are guilty of building. In fact, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, said the greatest security threat we face as a nation is our debt. And I agree with him. We've just got to stop this out-of-control spending and out-of-control debt. As you know, I'm a medical doctor, and Obamacare is going to be the greatest threat to our economy. It's already hurting our economy today. It's already hurting job creation. It's making people go from being full-time employees to being part-time employees because of the employer mandate that has to do with 50 employees. If they have 50 employees there and their employees are working more than 30 hours a week, then they're considered full-time employees. And so people are losing their jobs or they're losing their hours. Obamacare is a disaster. It's not fixable. We must repeal it and replace it with something that makes sense. And my Patient Option Act is the only Republican bill that actually does make sense because it's the only bill that gets the federal government out of making health care decisions for anybody. So it takes a federal bureaucrat out from the middle of the doctor-patient relationship, and it makes health insurance a whole lot cheaper. It's been endorsed by the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. That's the conservative alternative to the AMA, which is very liberal, and the AMA supports Obamacare. We've got to rip this out by the roots and replace it with my Patient Option Act, and or otherwise our children are not going to have jobs when they get out of school. We're going to have a poor economy. We're going to have an economic meltdown in this country if we don't stop this out-of-control government and out-of-control spending that both parties are guilty of doing.
What else would you do to attack the debt in a way that would obviously pass muster with the way the political situation is balanced in Washington right now? Even if the Republicans take back the Senate, you'll still have 2 more years of President Obama.
The government must live within its means, and we've got to balance our budget. I've got the strongest balanced budget amendment that's been introduced in Congress. It caps spending. It makes it very difficult for Congress to raise taxes, and those are the two problems with almost every other balanced budget amendment that's been introduced. My jobs bill would create millions of new jobs. We should not be raising taxes on anybody in this country. We should be raising taxpayers, creating millions of new jobs, and my jobs bill will bring manufacturing back to America. What's going to bring manufacturing back to America, and what's going to bring good, high-paying jobs is getting the federal regulatory burden and tax burden off of our job creators. And that's what I've been fighting ever since I've been up here. So I've got the proven conservative constitutional record, and once we get that message out to Georgia voters, I'm going to be elected to the U.S. Senate, I believe.
The early polls are just that early, but it appears that out of the 8 candidates, 4 are definitely considered to be the most competitive. You are certainly among them, along with your fellow House Republicans, Jack Kingston and Phil Gingrey. A state official, Karen Handel, is also believed to be a viable candidate here. When looking at some of the reviews of different forums that you've all been at, there was a recent one in Marietta and so forth, a lot of the write-ups have been, well, they don't differ that much on the key issues. They just have nuances here and there. I know you and your fellow candidates don't necessarily see it that way. So what do you see as the biggest differences between you and Congressman Kingston and Congressman Gingrey and Ms. Handel?
Well, I'll go one by one, and we'll start with Karen Handel. She's attacking the three of us as being the problem that we have here in Washington, and I am so different from Kingston and Gingrich that I'll get to them in a minute. But she has absolutely no positions on issues. She has no record whatsoever. And in fact, all the candidates in this race, all eight, can be categorized into three different groups. There's one group, and she's a part of this one, that claim to be conservative, but have absolutely zero record to back that claim up. In fact, there's some things in the past where she has supported funding for Planned Parenthood that's not conservative. There's a second category of candidates that claim to be conservative, but their record does not back up a consistent conservative position, and that's where Kingston and Gingrich fall. And there's one candidate, me, who has a proven, consistent constitutional voting record. There are four questions I ask about all legislation. All four have to be yes for me to vote yes. The first is it constitutional according to the original intent? Is it one of the 18 enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8? The second question, is it right? Does it fit the Judeo-Christian biblical principles that our nation was founded upon? Third question, do we need it? Fourth, can we afford it? So is it constitutional? Is it right? Do we need it? Can we afford it? If all four yes, I vote yes. I've done that for 6.5 years. If one's no, I vote no. That's where I've been for 6.5 years. I'm the only candidate in this race that has a proven, true conservative record. And I also have legislation to back that up. When I go to the Senate, I've already been developing some friends in the Senate and House. There's just a very small core group of House members and senators that have been meeting together for the last 3 years, actually, trying to strategize how we're going to stop this out-of-control government. There's people in the House like Louie Gohmert and Mark Meadows and Steve King. And on the Senate side, it's Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Pat Toomey and Jeff Sessions and a few others. There are about 6 or 7 senators. So I've already developed those relationships. I can go to work immediately, and none of these other candidates have been involved, and none of them have a consistent conservative record.
Let's real quickly, before we get to a couple final questions, sir, what are a couple examples of Congressman Kingston and Congressman Gingrich being inconsistent in conservatism?
Well, both of them have been huge earmarkers. In fact, at one time, Jack Kingston had more earmarks than all of the Republican delegation from Georgia put together. Both of them have voted for bigger government, expansion of government under George W. Bush. As an example, Dr. Gingrich told me one of the proudest votes he's made was the expansion of Medicare with Part D. Both of them have voted for bigger and bigger government programs. Both of them have voted to raise the debt ceiling. I have never voted to raise the debt ceiling. I've never voted for a stimulus package. I've never voted for a bailout. They have. I've never requested an earmark. I've told you both of them are huge earmarkers. I've never voted for a tax increase, and I've never voted to raise the debt ceiling. They can't say that. They cannot make those claims.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman Paul Brown, represents his state's 10th congressional district, candidate for the Republican nomination for Senate in the state of Georgia. That primary is May 20th. And, sir, this next question I'm sure is one you've heard before. A lot of folks, both in the Republican Party as well as outside observers, quote unquote, wonder that if you, as a Tea Party favorite, have the ability after you would potentially win a primary to win statewide against a likely Democratic nominee who won't have much of a primary fight. So what do you say to them?
When Georgia voters understand that I'm working to help poor people and senior citizens and to make sure that everybody gets good quality health care in America, as we must and should, but that I've got the plan to do so. And that plan is to shrink the size of the federal government and send those powers back to the states of the people, then I will be elected U.S. Senate. I'm the We the People candidate in this race. And, in fact, there was a recent poll done, I think it was by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, that showed that I had the greatest favorables amongst Democrats in the state of Georgia. I can and will win this race.
You got a little bit of heat, I believe mostly from Congressman Gingrich, about an effort to award one of your followers an AR-15. That was what he would consider gimmicky, I think was his word. What were you trying to prove with that point?
Well, I'm the chairman of the Second Amendment Task Force. I've been endorsed by Gun Owners of America as well as the National Association of Gun Rights. I believe very firmly that our constitutionally protected, God-given Second Amendment and First Amendment rights are the cornerstones of making sure that we remain a free nation and protect our liberty. The symbol of the greatest attack beyond Obamacare on our liberty is the fact that this administration wants to remove guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. He does not believe law-abiding citizens should have an individual right to own a gun. We must never, ever lose our individual right to own a gun. And it's not a gimmick. It's a means of just getting my supporters all across this nation to understand that I'm fighting for liberty. And guns have always been a symbol of liberty. I'm also a Marine, and I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2012. I believe in a strong national defense, whether it's the defense of our own lives and property, being able to protect ourselves, or whether it's to protect ourselves from tyranny. We must never, ever lose our right to own a gun, and that's the purpose of this giveaway.
Last topic before we let you go, sir. Of course, just being able to cover and get to know a lot of folks in your congressional district is a pretty big task with the number of people in a congressional district. Now, of course, you're campaigning statewide. What's that been like, and do you feel like you're raising the kind of money needed to get your message statewide?
Well, it's been a fantastic experience because I believe that the Georgia citizens just truly believe we need to go back to those foundational principles of limited government, low taxes, the rule of law, a strong national defense, a vibrant free enterprise system, unencumbered by government taxes and regulations, and personal responsibility and accountability. Those five things are the basic principles of Americanism. Those five things are also the basic principles of which I believe that the Republican Party is supposed to be based upon. In fact, there was an article that just came out by one of the major political reporters recently, and he said that the primary is all about who is going to be the runoff opponent to Paul Brown. We have to have 50% to win in the primary in Georgia. To quote him, he said that they would crawl naked over 2 miles of broken glass just to vote for Paul Brown. I don't want anybody crawling to vote for me. I don't want anybody crawling over broken glass, and certainly not naked. But we're just encouraging people across the state of Georgia to get involved in this race because I'm fighting for liberty. They can go on paulbrown.com, and it's B-R-O-U-N. It's Brown with a U instead of a W. B-R-O-U-N. paulbrown.com. They can contribute. They can sign up for email newsletters. We just need people all across the country to get engaged in my fight in Georgia for this primary and then the general election because I'm fighting for them all across this country. I'm fighting for liberty for all Americans, for all of our children, our grandchildren. We've just got to put this country back on a different course. We've got to stop what both parties have been doing, and that's coalescing more power in Washington, D.C. We've got to stop shaking down the taxpayers, sending more money to Washington, because more money in Washington means more power and control in Washington, but less power and control over our own lives.
Congressman, we'll let you get back to both of your jobs, your work on the Hill as well as the campaign trail. We thank you very much for your time today, and we look forward to checking back in with you as we get closer to the primary date.
Thanks, Greg. God bless you. It's paulbrown.com.
Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown represents his state's 10th congressional district. He is also a candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in Georgia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.